Well, today is, of course, Mother's Day, when we celebrate those women who have been our mothers, whether through birth or adoption or relation or circumstance. Sometimes it was biological, sometimes it was coincidental, sometimes it was happenstance. But there have been women on our journey who have mothered us, who have cared for us, who have loved us, who have forgiven us. Our mothers. Who were these women? How did they impact us? What do we remember about them? I would like to ask some here today to share a story about their mother with us. What do you remember of your mother? What story encapsulates your mom to you? As you're thinking of what your story would be, I'll share with you. I mentioned this sermon yesterday to Patty, our church secretary. She shared this story with me. Growing up, they went to a very large church, and her mom was a sign language interpreter. So on Sunday mornings, they would have her mom come up, and she would stand on the stage, and she would sign whatever the preacher was saying. And Patty says she distinctly remembers the Sunday that her mom, right before service, ran to the restroom, and when she got up front, her dress was tucked into her pantyhose, and she said, Patty says, of course, all of us kids were sitting all the way in the back, and there was nothing. We were waving at her, trying to get her attention, and she was telling us, sit down, sit down. And she said, the preacher never said a word. She goes, I just went through the whole thing. Afterwards, her mom was like, oh, well, at least it was exciting. Does anyone have a story of their mother they'd like to share? Yes, Alan, absolutely. I think to honor your mom, you should play the violin for us. Ooh. I think everybody else would do that. I think that'd be a great way to honor her memory. No, that's a wonderful story. Thank you so much. Amen. Does anybody else have a story about their mom? Yes, sir. Now, you know, if it's not truthful, she's right here. She's going to tell us.
A lot of confidence in it. We went snake hunting and we turned over a lot of rocks and we found a big garter snake. Put it in that bag and took it home. We lived in the old parsonage in Westwood. And I remember her standing in the screen door of the parsonage with her hand out to hold that garter snake. And an 8 or 9 year old boy, that was pretty cool. And she didn't, I didn't take it home because I wanted to embarrass my mom. I took her home because she said she'd do it. And I was proud of catching that snake. She was still a lot of confidence.
That's wonderful.
It's nice to see somebody, little boy, still at the age of 60.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone else have a story they'd like to share? Yes, Jim.
When I was about 11 or 12, I had a paper route through the Kansas City, Kansas, over in Wyandotte County. And my mother just happened to be the only one that on Sunday morning would get up when we had real bad weather, because I had a 7.5 mile route that I usually rode on my bicycle. And Mom would get up in bad weather and drive the car, an old 30 Chevy, and we'd go throw papers. That's the thing I remember.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, Connie.
I have more of a remembrance of my mother than just a story. And I know you wouldn't believe it for me now, but it was a bit of a handful when I was a child.
No, Fred says you're a handful now, too. Absolutely. Absolutely. Beautiful stories. I'll show you the two stories I remember the most about my mom are two times that I made her cry. When I was about 12 years old, I made her cry for the first time and realized that I was the reason. I'm sure she had cried over me before that, but it was the first time that I did something directly that made her cry. My folks owned the Montgomery Ward store in our hometown. And I was about 12 years old. I would go up after school. I would dust off the appliances. I would sweep. Just basic stuff. And they paid me a couple bucks an hour for it. And I went in one day because I was owed some money. I'd been working that week. And it was time for me to get paid. And she was really busy. I came in and I was demanding. And she said, not now. And I got rather impatient with her about it. And that night when she got home, she sat me down and she told me how that made her feel. And I remember her crying. I remember sitting there for the first time realizing that I caused that. I made her cry, and it just broke my heart to see that. About 6 years later, I had the opportunity. I went to the state wrestling tournament, and when I won the regional match that would send me to state, I ran up into the stands to hug my parents, and my mother had tears streaming down her cheeks and this huge smile on her face. I remember that day realizing that I'd made her cry again, but this time she was proud of me. And those are the stories I keep on my heart about my mom.
Amen.
It's interesting when we're looking at the image of motherhood in Scripture, in faith. Of course, Jesus, when he taught us to pray, taught us to pray, O God, our Father. Realizing it was a revolutionary prayer at the time. Prior to this moment, when Jesus taught us that, people had a very distant relationship with God. They viewed God as larger than life. They revered God as grandiose, as the creator of the universe, as the Alpha and the Omega. Prior to Jesus, the Jewish people could not select a word in their language they felt was capable of encompassing God. So when they would write the name of God in the ancient biblical Hebrew, they would write Y-H W. Now, they didn't use vowels. It was one of the eccentricities of that ancient biblical Hebrew. YHW was an acronym that literally stood for, and Harry Potter fans always enjoy this, He Who Shall Not Be Named. God was so big, they felt there's no way we could assign a word out of our language that could describe the enormity of God. So God was simply this YHW we find in the ancient writings, and it simply meant without name, that thou that shall not be named. Later on, by the way, when Gentiles began to follow Jesus and we looked at those ancient scrolls, we didn't realize what had been going on in those ancient texts, so we added our own vowels to it, and YHW became Yahweh. Or if it was in Arabic, it was JVH, and that became Jehovah. Along comes Jesus then, who seeks to break this barrier down completely. Jesus takes the God who the people have held at arm's length and brings God closer. When you pray, pray this way. O God, our Father, who art in heaven. Jesus takes the impersonal and makes it intimate. Takes the grandiosity of the creator of the universe and makes it as close as family, as close as relation, as close as your father. Jesus describing God as father is not assigning sexual identity to God, but is embracing the hierarchical structure of society and families at the time. Jesus is not saying that God is male. God is saying that God is as close as your own father, as close as family. It makes our interactions with the God of Genesis different. It changes them. It makes our faith relatable and near. So if God can be father, then can God be mother as well? In Scripture, God often takes on the posturing, the form of mother. God is the God of creation. Motherhood is the most beautiful biological act of creation possible. From mother comes child. From God comes creation, comes the universe, comes you and I. In Isaiah 42, it says, for a long time I have held my peace, I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. In Isaiah 66, for thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity like a river, the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream, and you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knee. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. In Isaiah 49 that we heard this morning, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. And God answers, can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. There is something magical, mystical about the connection between mother and child, something that goes beyond science and nature, something that goes to the act of creation, the binding fiber of being made from being. God as mother calls into being God's qualities as comforter, as caregiver, as protector. God's love is powerful like a mother's. God's love is binding like a mother's. God's love is forever like a mother's. Knowing how close that love of God is, like our very mother's love for us, imagine how God has hurt when we have left, when we've turned our backs on God, when we've forsaken God. And imagine how joyful it must have been when we returned, when we turned back, when we came home. God as mother loves us even when we fall short. God as mother cares about us even when we sin. God as mother yearns for us to return, even when we stray. The image of God as mother brings completeness to God. It fills out the portions of God that fail to materialize with a male-centric perspective. God as mother draws a picture of the caring, loving, forgiving warmth of God with us. As we celebrate Mother's Day today, think of your mother. Think of the way she loved you, the way she raised you, the way she cared for you, the way she forgave you. Can you not see the hand of God in these interactions? Can you not see the overpowering love of God as Heavenly Mother? Take time on this day to remember your mother, to celebrate her, to share stories of her. If you're able, take time to thank your mother today for raising you, for loving you, for caring about you. And take time today to consider God as your heavenly mother today. How that image completes and deepens the image of God in our lives, in our faith, in our daily walk. O God, our mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen.